If doing something your family wants makes you feel compromised, is there a way to please them and still keep your pride intact? It's time to ask Auntie. Now, you'd be hard-pressed to find a family without skeletons in their closets and without wounds from the past that still feel pretty raw. But how these grievances are dealt with can be very difficult from one family to the next. Today's dilemma is all about what happens when the family approach isn't quite right for you. And so welcome to our aunties in this family mediation, psychologist and writer Rebecca Ray. Hi, Beck.
Hi, Bev. How are you going?
I'm good. And James Cawley, head writer for Gruen on ABC. Welcome back, James.
Thank you for having me back.
Now, James, I'm going to start with you. Conflict is not fun. What's your family's style of dealing with conflict?
Well, our family's quite mature in this, that we know, like, try not to have it out in the moment. So what we do is take a moment, take a breath, and then spend 15 to 20 years just sniping at each other about it.
Yeah, very mature. I love it. Okay, Beck, how about you? Similar to James or a different approach?
I thought James was completely going to shame me by coming up with an actual mature strategy. But no, look, I can totally relate. My family is one that uses humor rather than actually address the conflict. So the humor is often weaponized, and they're more likely to talk about it behind your back rather than to talk about it to your face.
Shout out right now to James calling Rebecca Ray's families. Hello. Now, let's talk about our writer who's written in with a problem, Dylan, our letter writer, about his own family's modus operandi for and how that's working for him. Dylan says, it's been well over a decade since my dad and I had any sort of conversation. He was unfaithful and left our family when I was in my 30s. It obviously had a huge impact on our family, especially my mom. She's had to rebuild her life, and watching her go through that pain has made me resent my father even more. Recently, I've been getting pressured from family members to reconnect, but I really don't want to. Beck, with your psychologist hat on, what are you thinking about this dynamic at the moment?
Look, I think it's completely understandable. One of the difficulties about watching other adults in our family systems deal with adult pain and adult problems is that even when we're children of those adults, we want to step in and we want to actually take that pain away. And one of the ways that Dylan has done that over time has been to side with his mum, to actually draw a very clear boundary that his relationship with his dad will never be the same.
James, what's sticking out to you at the moment on this first chapter of Dylan's story?
I find it very interesting that I feel like there is a part around that time in our lives in general where we work out that our parents are human, our parents are people. And there's this second phase that you might go through, which is that you might not necessarily like that person, which I think is difficult to come to terms with. But it's also very real that you're like, oh, not only is my dad a human being, he's kind of one I don't heaps care for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, is it understandable though that I guess I'm asking, whose side are you on at the moment? Are you kind of team Dylan? Is that what you're feeling, James?
I think for me, I think that yes, like that you're allowed to make that decision, and if that's like you don't owe him anything, let's mm-hmm. say in that sense, that I feel like. You can make the choice to interact. You can make the choice to interact without forgiveness. But at this stage, I would say that, like, also, this is something that happened when you were 30. You made an adult decision about it then. You're making an adult decision now. And that doesn't mean you can't change your mind. But it also doesn't mean you have to be compelled one way or the other. Yeah. So I'm at least giving Dylan the choice.
Okay, yeah, give him the choice. He's an adult. What about you, Beck? Any leanings at this point?
Yeah, I agree with James. Look, my support is behind the choice. You have the chance to choose right now based on the data that you have, but you also have the chance to make a different choice in the future based on where you're sitting then.
Okay, fantastic. Now let's move into the second part of what Dylan's situation is. So Dylan continues, in a few weeks, a family member is having a birthday celebration. It's a big deal and will bring together most of my immediate and extended family from all over the country, including my father. I'm getting on fine without my dad in my life, but the idea of being around him and playing nice for the sake of my family irks me. It got me thinking, should I just skip the party? I get on really well with my extended family, and apart from this recent pressure to forgive my dad, we spend a lot of time together, so it will be weird if I'm not there. Okay, this is interesting. We're getting more of a sense now of the dilemma Dylan is confronting, which is divided loyalties, right? Beck, it sounds like Dylan's immediate response is to skip this event. So what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I would say the urge to skip the event is consistent with the wounds that he continues to carry on behalf of his mum, that his dad betrayed the family, and therefore he doesn't want to further add to that betrayal with his mum by showing up and playing nice with his dad. But the thing that stands out for me is that, look, in this situation, I think the best thing that we can possibly do is to look into the future and actually consider how we'll look back on this scenario, because what once might or what now might feel cut and dried might also not be what you want to look back on in terms of what you stood for.
Yeah. Well, James, if Dylan doesn't go to the party, what might the consequences be?
He might have a good time. Look, I love skipping a party, so I feel like I am a poor judge of this. That I'd say, like, if you don't want to go to a party, that's fine. I don't think you necessarily have to make that a, I have skipped this. You can, you are very good at logging on to whatever ticket buying app you prefer to use and finding yourself an event that accidentally clashes with this. But I would say that there is a line that he has drawn there, which is that if I show up at this party, I have to play nice. I don't think you have to play mean, but I don't think you necessarily have to play nice. We have all been to parties with people we don't necessarily like, or if we got to choose the guest list, we'll be at that party.
Okay. Yeah. So what would playing not nice or not mean look like, James, as an example?
I think it's playing neutral, like that you make sure you have your own exit strategy. You don't, like, you don't feel the need to engage with this person or put yourself in a conversation you don't want to be a part of. You know how to get out of the room. You know how to keep your distance. I just think that if it is important to you to go, that's the part that's necessary for this. If it's important to be there, then you can be there. And like I say, like, you're not going in there spoiling for a fight. Like I say, there are still wounds here that are clearly unhealed, but you can be at this thing if it is important to you.
Yeah.
And take care of yourself while you're there.
There is a part three that's coming. So just a short answer from you, Beck, but I do want to hear your thoughts. It sounds like Dylan is worried about disappointing other family members, and that's what's weighing on his mind about skipping the party.
Yeah, I think Dylan wants to make sure that he's still there for the other family members and to show up in what might be his approach normally, which is to be there, to provide presence, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's obligated to interact.
Mm. Okay, final bit of Dylan's letter. He continues, when thinking about this party, the other thing I'm unsure about is how I talk to my mum about it. She is still raw and reeling with the fallout from their separation. I don't want her to think I'm taking one side or the other. That is an extra factor. James, what are your thoughts on Dylan's worry about how this party will affect his mum?
I think it's completely understandable, but I think that he does the same thing that I do oftentimes, which is not give my mum enough credit to be as, like, conflicted and emotional human being as we all are.
Yeah.
That you can explain to her, you can communicate with her and say that I am feeling this. I feel like I have an obligation to the rest of the family. I don't want you to see this as a betrayal. And I think stating that early is so much better because it's not something you want her to find out about after the fact.
Yeah. Beck, what do you think about this dilemma of Dylan's?
Yeah, look, the answer here, I agree, is absolutely in communication. And so many of us come from family systems that don't support communication. So I think the key here is actually just speaking up before the party even happens, for Dylan to have a conversation with his mum about where his loyalties lie, but also about the fact that he's in a position where he wants to make sure that she understands that he has strong feelings about this and strong feelings about supporting her. But you know what? Adults are adults. adults, and we each get to take responsibilities for our relationships and our role in those families. So Dylan doesn't need to be responsible for his mum's experience of that party.
Yeah. If this was your family, James, and you were Dylan, how would it be playing out?
I think if I was Dylan and this was, and look, you are about to get an expert to tell you how you should actually deal with this situation, so I will be honest with you.
Go for your life.
If this was me, what would be happening is, I would arrive slightly late just before the cake arrived. Hey, what a great cake. Hey, so lovely to see you. Have a happy birthday. I'm so tired. I'm sorry. I've got to go. What a lovely 45 minutes we all had in this room together. I am in three pictures and I sang the song, "You Know I Was Here, Goodbye."
Yeah, go and make a big splash and then leave, right? The photographic evidence is there. You took the photo. You ate the cake. See ya. Bye. I like it, James. It's very practical. Beck, same question to you. What's your answer?
I did actually have this play out. I went to a funeral where I had to be near a family member who I'd known to actually be abusive towards the person who had died. And my way of coping was to just simply completely avoid that family member. I didn't have a conversation with them. I didn't acknowledge their presence. It was simply about making sure that I was there for the rest of the family, that my presence was honoring the person that we'd lost, but it wasn't going to give any space to the person that was the person whose behavior I knew and did not approve of at all.
But even then, I imagine you feel very self-conscious that you are ignoring that person, or was it actually quite okay?
No, I did feel self-conscious that I was ignoring them, particularly because that person actually came up and tried to hug me. And so I had to do a quick maneuver to make sure that my personal space was not offered to this person. I felt very self-conscious about that, but I also was aware that I think I was far more self-conscious about what I was playing out in my mind rather than what everyone else was.
Great. Aware of. Thank you so much, Rebecca Ray, psychologist and writer, head writer for GRU, and James Cawley. Now, if you have a vexing dilemma that needs our help, please write in and recruit the aunties to your cause. They are ready and here to help you. Email lifematters@abc.net.au. That's lifematters@abc.net.au. We'll get them on the case.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.